Well, I'm not sure if I should speak in my local tongue or in English. If you don't understand any of my accents in English, you might go to Justin Wacker or to other guys over there, other ladies, who have been with me for maybe 4 years or so. So in Congo, if someone comes and find here, greets everybody. So when I say Mbote, which means a lot in Lingala, so that's one of the languages we speak in Congo. Well, French is mostly taught in school. If you tell me how to speak French, probably I would not be able to speak French that well, because I grew up speaking Lingala in Congo and English here in America. So when I say Mbote, that means saying hi. But when I say Mbote, it's hi. And I say Mbote Nabino, it's like hi, everyone. So that's how it is. So when I say Mbote, don't think of like it's something weird to speak in tongues. No, it's not. It just means hi. So today, thank Pastor for this moment to give to me to share God's word with everybody. And I thank God for this moment too. Because after I graduated, I was looking for like, what does God want me to do? You know, first I thought of maybe I should stay here and work. But God changed my mind, and he moved me to Congo again. He's like, well, you're going to have to be in Congo as a missionary. And for some reason, I was like, that's a good reason for that. And God brought me here again to Norwoodville Baptist Church. So before I even came here, I texted Mrs. Kramer, the pastor's wife, and I was like, hey, I'm coming back to America, and I'll be around Iowa. So would Pastor want me to present something? And she's like, well, let me ask him. Now, he asked him, that's why I'm here. So here we are. So I'd like us to open 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 through 9. I'll be reading in King James Version, and I think some of you have different versions, which I'm fine with. So I'll be reading here. It says, blessed be the God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if in need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold, and that perishes, though it is tested by the fire, may be found in praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love, though not you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. So let's pray. Dear God, we thank you for this moment you have given to me. We just pray, Lord, that our heart will be open to your message. And we pray that whatever happens to this message, Lord, you be the one, be glorified. We pray, Lord, that you help us to see who you really are and how you work through believers. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. So here we see Peter, first thing he's doing is pretty much praising. He's not praising anybody that is not that important. He's praising Christ. He is praising God. In this praise, you see him praising him for something special here. Three things here we see, or four things we see, praising him for a new life or new birth. This new birth is not just physical birth. It's what some of us believers know this new birth is, where one person, or a person, a sinner, who comes to Christ and sees himself as a guilty person and cries to Christ to come in his life. And Christ, in that way, gives that person a new life. So Peter here is presenting Jesus as God, as Messiah. So Messiah means what? It means the anointed, the chosen one. If you read throughout the 1 Samuel and 2 Samuel throughout the Kings, you will see that when someone is being chosen or been chosen by the people, they anoint the person the oil on the head. So Jesus here, Messiah, means the anointed one. So in English, pretty much means Christ. So we see that when Peter will respond to Christ, when Christ asked them, "Who do you think I am?" or "Who do men say I am?" And Peter said it, says, "Well, some think you Elijah or some prophet." But when he points to the apostles saying, "Who do you think I am?" they all says, "You are the Messiah. You are the chosen one, the anointed one." So here, Peter is praising Christ for that. He's saying, "You are the chosen one." He said, "Blessed be the God the Father." For, because he is the chosen one, through Christ, we have a new birth. In God's mercy, we are born again as believers. Jesus spoke with Nicodemus about this in John chapter 3, if you read that. Nicodemus asked these questions like, "In this new birth, do I have to go back to my mother's womb?" No. This is a spiritual life. It is a God-given life called regeneration or new birth. New birth is where God takes a spiritually dead person, grants a new spiritual life. So that is not a physical thing, it's a spiritual thing. So we people are very depraved people. Everything that we do, that we think it is good, it is not good. But it is through Christ that we have this new birth. It's not through sacrifices, that's not how new birth comes. It is by first a person realizing that they're sinners. Once they understand they're sinners, they see that, okay, we are in need of a person who is not like us. So Christ is not quite like us. He's fully man and fully God. But in that way, he is fully God. Through him, we have this new life. So Peter starts his praise by saying, "Thank you for this new life." Not just for this, but because Christ has went through a lot of trials. Being put in Christ, that's not easy. So after that, he's praising for new life, and also after that, it's a living hope that believers need to have. This living hope, according to Moody, the primary result of new birth and primary characteristic of the Christian life is hope. Because of this hope, we have Christ in us, that we believe and we have a hope that one day he will return to take us who have received him. And when he comes back to take us, we will be ready because we are newborn people, because we have accepted him as our Savior. So this hope is a breathing lively that is based on resurrected Savior. It's not just like a hope of anything, but it is based on Christ, not on man, not on people. So as a Congolese, we have a prosperity gospels. Well, in prosperity gospels, they preach all kind of things. One of the things is what? They give people false hope. So we have some churches in Congo where they preach like, "Well, come to our church, we'll give you this type of hope." Like false hopes like, "Come to our church, we'll give you a person you can marry to. Come to this church, we'll show you that you can get a visa to come to America." You don't know how crazy it is that people wanted to come to America. Congolese who really love to come to America just to see America. So those false prosperity gospels people have found a way of giving people false hope. But our hope is not in such thing. Our hope is in resurrected Savior, in Jesus Christ. Now the third part is he is praising Christ with a glorious inheritance. Believers anticipate a glorious inheritance. Three modifying of this glorious inheritance we have: it never fades away, and it's imperishable. It is undefiled. It's not something that can be tossed away or be put in the trash. It is something very, very good to treasure. So as we see today, oh, in summertime, we see flowers are blooming, right? But flowers do fade away. So do we people do fade away. But eternal inheritance, it's what God gives to believers. And that never fades away. And we see that this tells us believers, inheritance is not earthly. It's not from here. Not from this world. But it is from above. It does not have eternal defects. It is unchangeable. The glorious inheritance is reserved for believers. So if you're not saved, this is not saved for you. It's not reserved for you. It's only for those who are newborn again, who have accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior. The third part here, Peter's praising God, is the omnipotent protection. That God protects believers. You see here, believers have not entered this glory yet. God is still protecting his children. So in Congo there, as a little kid, we always hear stories. Like, oh, if you do something wrong here, the devil will come get you. I mean, in Congo, people are afraid of the devil so much that they think the devil is stronger than God. So when I was there, they always bring that type of fear. They're like, oh, if you do something like this, the devil will come get you. Or if you steal, the devil will come get you. But once I became a Christian, I realized I have someone who's stronger than the devil. If I do something wrong, God will come get me, not the devil. Or my mom will come get you, or my dad will come get me and spank me. So I understood that. So for us as Christians, we don't need to fear that because we know that we're under God's protection. We know that God protects us as his children, and we have to obey what he says. Here we see the power of God in the faith of believers continues until the final salvation is revealed. Believers are resting in God's powerful protection. According to MacArthur, God not only keeps the inheritance, but also keeps Christians secure. Ryrie states, we too are being kept by God's power through faith. So the joy of faith, this sort of joy is not based on changing, but it is used of joy that comes from unchanging, eternal relationship with our Creator God. Life brings various trials, but God uses trials to strengthen our faith. We see that even through disciples, when they were feared throughout the boat, when the wave came and the wind, the fear came on them. But when Christ says, where is the faith? So trials will come into Christians' life. Even if we are under God's protection, trials will come, like Job. What trial that Job faced, it's not just about Job, it's how faithful Job was to God. So your trials is to see how faithful you are. So the trial is not about you, but it's more of your faith. That's what's being attacked. So since we are under God's protection, we also have to understand trials will come because the world does not like us because we're God's children, and the world would need to bring something that will test our faith. So the trials will be something where you see if you're faithful. So you'll be tempted to do things, but you have to remember, you have to be faithful to what God says. So God is the one we are putting focus on, not focus on ourselves. And here we see that trials should not diminish a Christian's joy. See in Acts 16, that trials should not diminish our joy. So when we are in such trial, well, we feel like, oh man, why am I so in pain today? Maybe we should look up to Christ and see that, well, since I'm in trial, it's just best to be like Job. Get to your knees and just pray to him. So in Congo, we have some terrible police people. You know, police who are very corrupted. You bribe police to get through places. Let's say that. If they stop you, it's only for one reason. They want money. So when the police stop you in the Congo, you got to have money. If you don't have money, you pretty much can be like, sit there for hours and sweat with them. So for some of us as Christians in Congo, we'd be like, well, we don't have money, but we have the Word of God. And we do share that. And the police do, like, if you share the Bible with them, you give them a Bible, they would take you very seriously, like, thank you for giving me the Bible. Well, they prefer Bible than more than money. So they will take the Bible, and they will call out the friends, like, hey, I got my Bible. They will come surrounding your car, because, well, they want the Bible. So we do have a way of sharing the word to the police. Even if we know that, a lot of times they don't get quite much time to read it, because they're always working. But we see that God still uses those type of people. Even if they are very not kind, by sharing the word with them, they're still able to understand. So we see that life brings various trials, but God uses trials to strengthen our faith. The testing of the faith will result in praise and glory and honoring God. Moody states that the true child of God will find himself severely tried. MacArthur states that when believers come through trial, still trusting the Lord, they are assured that their faith is genuine. Our testing is not to see whether we are perfect, but rather to see if we know our value of God's children. So is your value as God's children, is it in this world, or is it in God who gives you eternal life? Even with Nicodemus, when he talked to Christ about eternal life, Jesus had to explain to him, it's not like something you will receive in this world, but something that is reserved for believers when they get to heaven. So, if a believer's faith is, it is a believer's faith that is in trial. If a believer has not faith to stand the trial, that believer is not the kind of whom God is present at time looking for. If you cannot stand the trial of, like, struggles, because trial is something that we have to face. Even in school, you face some trials of cheating. Even at work, you can come. Trials everywhere. So trial is basically anything that makes you fail. But if you can't fail on that one, that shows how faithful you are to God. So second part here in Peter's, in verse 7 here says, as we read it, in 1 Peter 1, verse 7, it says here, if I can find it, the genuineness of your faith being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by the fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So this revelation of Jesus Christ here is talking about the second coming of Christ. That is Christ's second coming. So in second coming of Christ is what it is, to reward his redeemed people. For those who have been faithfully waiting for him, faithfully working to minister to others. That is what this second coming of Christ will be like. It's to reward the redeemed people. So we see that verse 8 says, we have never seen God with our physical eyes, yet we love him above all else. So we haven't seen God. I have not seen God. But I've heard of him. I've heard the good about God, the goodness of what he has done. For an example, he has given me eternal life. He has sent Christ to die for my sin. That is the good news for me to believe in. And by believing that Christ has died for me, I don't think so, I regret that. That is something to treasure. Well, in Congo, there is all these religious things. Tribal thing is a problem. Like, oh, I believe that my ancestor did this for me. Oh, I believe my ancestor did this for me. Oh, my ancestor's medicines are better than the medicines you buy in pharmacy. Well, I'm like, well, wait a minute. Isn't the medicine that your ancestor is using made by something that God made? If the trees that your ancestor get medicine from is made by God. It says in Genesis, in the beginning God created heaven and earth. He created all those trees, all those flying birds in the air, and us. So if people can't see that, that's how we share the gospel with them. We show them first that God is the one who created everything, not men. I mean, cars made by men, but in order to make a car, you have to use what? Something that God created. In order to make whatever, you have to go towards God first. So everything points us to God. I've not seen God, but I have heard good news about Him. First is about looking at nature. By just looking at nature, seeing how is it possible, who created all this beautiful sky at night? You can look at stars at night and be like, who created those? And you can look on the ground to be like, who created this grass? It is God the one did all this beautiful work, not us. I have not seen God, but I believe in His work. So when I believe that He sent Jesus Christ to die for my sin, even if I have not heard about Jesus, but I've heard of Him in His book, that is Bible. Through Jesus Christ, I know I have eternal life because I believe in Him. I don't believe in a man, but I believe in the one that God sent is called Jesus Christ. Here, verse 9, we see that. It says, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. So faith should be faith should be on a resurrected Savior, not on people, not on men, but on resurrected Savior, not on prophets. Because in Congo we have a prophet called Simo Kimbangu. He's the biggest one prophet in Congo. Well, he died. So that's not a thing I'm worried about. He's not resurrected. But the thing is, his people hate any type of religion. You talk to them about Christ, they'd be like, no, we believe in Simo Kimbangu, the prophet Simo Kimbangu. But if you heard his stories, it's like, it doesn't even connect. Because it is someone just told the story of himself instead of the story of Christ, saying that they are better than Christ. But our faith is in resurrected Savior, not on people. Just remember, trials will come on earth. One day, Christ will reveal Himself to us. But we're going to have to wait for that time. That means we have to be patient. That means we have to still hoping on that. Our faith has to be in Christ, not on people. And one thing I'll say, though, I believe that Christ died on the cross for my sin, and He has taken away all my sin. He completed everything when He says, Father, it is done. That means you don't have to work anymore to get that salvation. You just have to believe in Christ. You don't need to do sacrifices. You don't need to go to someone, but you just have to believe in Christ. Well, you have to go to someone and in order to understand what you believe. But that person has to be a person who is deeply in the Word of God, who understands how to lead people to Christ. Because if you go to the wrong person, he will just tell you, well, here's what I believe. I believe because my father believed. Well, your father believed because you believe. No, you believe because you see the Word of God that teaches you that Christ came and died for your sin. Because you were a corrupted person. All your good deeds was not perfect, and it's still not perfect to make you perfect. But it is through Christ that we are made perfect, not by men. So Peter here, he is praising God for new birth, for new hope, and eternal inheritance. And we see also the last one, for God's protection in His people. So it is a new birth that God has given us purpose in life. And it is through hope that we see our faith. And it is through God's inheritance that we see that this inheritance is reserved for believers, for those who have received Christ as the Savior. And we see that while we believers are sojourners in this world, we see that God is protecting us believers. So if you're not saved, or if you're still kind of like, I'm on the left and right, I'm not sure where I am, maybe it's time for you to see what you really are. Are you in Christ? Are you a believer in Christ? Or are you just someone who doesn't know who they are? Are you still living in sin? Living in sin is like a person who just says, hey, there's a fire there, don't touch it. But they're like, nah, I'm going to just touch it. But living in Christ is like someone saying, hey, there's a fire there, don't touch it. A person smart knows, hey, if I touch it, I'll get burnt. And the person backs off. So if you're still living in sin, you're pretty much not destined to this new birth, but you're destined to hell, where pain never ends, where sorrow is the victory to that place. But we know that in heaven, where Christ is, pain is not there anymore. All we know is that we have our Savior there, who gives us joy every day as believers to share the word with others. He gives us joy because of a new birth they have given to us. Without that, we would never be where we are today. And I thank God for this moment he given to me. Because when I graduated from faith, I was like, where would I go? I had some ideas, but I thank God for this new birth that he has brought me here again. It is through God's power that we are again a living being, not a dead spiritually, but as people who God has chosen from the beginning of the world. Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you for sending Jesus Christ to die for our sins and to show us the truth that is in us. The truth that lies in us is just a lie, but you brought the truth of light, Christ, to shine in our hearts so we can see you more as we read your word. We pray that as we depart from this building, Lord, that we can be able to share to others your word and share with them how you have given us a new birth and how you can give to those who are still looking for it. We pray that we can be faithful to our work. Pray that we can see how we can change others through your word. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.